Okay, gentlemen, we are on Daf Yud Aleph on Beis. We are in the middle of a discussion about laying out skins of animals to dry on pigs after shechting the animals so that they won't stick. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, and there's Shmuel. Moleach Adam Kama Chesich Espasa Basach. You can salt a lot of meat together in one go. What does that mean? The process of salting meat is necessary to remove the blood in the meat. The blood in the meat, which remains after shechting, is an issur d'oraisa. It's only non-issur koreis. The blood which comes out as the animal dies is an issur koreis. The blood which remains in the meat afterwards is only issur lav. But having said that, it is an issur d'oraisa. If you were to cook the animal in that blood, then the meat would be forbidden min haTorah. Therefore, what we do is we salt the meat prior to that to extract the blood. So you can. The Gemara says you can salt lots of meat together in one go. You don't have to salt the pieces one by one. And even if you only need one piece for this yom tov, you can just whole salt all the meat together. You don't have to only salt the meat you need. That's not viewed as preparing for after yom tov on yom tov. Ravada Rava Mariam Omalach Garama. Says Rav Adam. Rav Adar Bar Ahava would actually, he would go ahead and then even, he would even, he would basically say, oh, after he'd salted one piece for the day, he would then say, I really want that piece, and he would sell that piece, and say, I really want the other piece, and he'd sell that piece as well. So on and so forth, until he salted the entire animal, as long as you're saying you're doing it for Yom Tov, it's permitted, there's no issue of Hachano. Okay. Mishnah. Beisham amrim ein mesalkin es atrisim b'yemtov, beisil amrim batirin af lachazir. Beisham I say, remember we discussed this, you can't remove the trisim, the slats on the stores, on Yom Tov, because doing so is a problem of bone, right? When you're opening the store on Yom Tov for people to take without paying, right? And they'll, you know, come back and pay later. So you can't remove those slats because you've got to end up using them to build a table, that's a problem of binyan b'kelim. Beisil say it is permitted even to put them back. There's no issue of binyan in doing this. My trisim. What are trisim? What are these slats? Amar ulo trisei chanuyos. Right, so we're talking about stalls that are set up in the market. We're not talking about actual shops. Amar ulo shleish dvarim hitiru sofan mishum tchilasan. There are three times when we allow finishing up a task even though it is not necessarily do so on Yom Tov, because starting the task is necessary on Yom Tov, Elohim, and these are the three. Or lifnei adorasan, putting down the skin of the animal in front of somebody to trample, is permitted on Yom Tov, even though it is not necessarily do that on Yom Tov, you can do that after Yom Tov, because shechting the animal is permitted on Yom Tov. Ustrisei chanuyes, and this putting the slats on the wind on back together for the store for these stalls in the market, and vechazaras retia b'mikdash. Taking off a bandage on Shabbos. Spreading the cream underneath the bandage on Shabbos is gonna be an istoraisa. However, it is permitted to take off a bandage on Shabbos, right? Even in a case where it was permitted to put it on in the first place. Verachba Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rachba said the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Af haposeya chaviso umaschil beisase agav haregel. Valiba the Rabbi Yehuda the Amar Igmor. And Rachba said the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Even somebody who has opened a barrel or started kneading dough. Um, or started needing and started kneading dough for the purposes of the Yom Tov, right? He can then continue doing so. He can put the barrel back together. He can continue to knead afterwards, and that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, Chachamim actually disagree. They say you can only do the what you need for the regular, not more. In that case, right? In the case of the leather in front of the somebody to trample it, that was taught in the Mishnah. So, you might have thought that Beis Hillel's reasoning was that you can actually just lie down on this skin, and since you can just lie down on it, it would be permitted to lay it out on the ground for somebody to trample it. Even if you shechted the animal before Yom Tov, the answer is no. They only permitted if you shechted the animal on Yom Tov. If you finished shechting the animal before Yom Tov, you could have done everything else before Yom Tov as well. The Yom Tov in the Erev Yom Tov. So you can only do this if an animal that was shechted on Yom Tov, not an animal that was shechted on Erev Yom Tov. It's not even the case of the slats for the stalls in the market was also already taught. Allow you to return them to set up the table, right? Which you are now going to sell things on. Mold saying, what would you have thought? Tamayu the Beis Hillel mishon de ein binyam dekelim ein stira kelim v'afilu devatim nami. You thought that Beis Hillel's reasoning is because there's no binyan bekelim, right? There's no problem of building with kelim. There's only a problem of putting together a kli, right? There's a problem of market partish, of completing a kli, but there's no problem of binyan in kelim, and therefore it is permitted to do this. Kamash malan, and even it would be even permitted to do this in a house. Kamash Malan, that no, it's only permitted in a store because the store is permitted to open the store for the purpose of Yom Tov, and therefore it's also permitted to put together these tables, take them apart, etc. Chazar Shatiyat mentioned, and there's Nami Tneinan, the case of putting on the bandage in the mikdash and taking it off is also into it. Machzir Tneinan, you can put a bandage on in the mikdash, but you cannot, if it was already on before, take it off, check it, and then put it back on, even though you can't in outside of the mikdash. Mold saying, what do you thought? Time maybe from the ancient mikdash. He would have thought because it's no Surin Darabon in the mikdash. Putting the bandage back on once it was already on in the first place is only Nes Darabon, right? Therefore, you would have thought that it is permitted because there's no Surin, there's no Shvus, there's no Melacha Midarabon in the mikdash. Afilu Kohen de Labar Avodahu. And therefore, it would even be for a Kohen who is not able to do a voda, he's a Baal Mom, he's a left-hander, right? Something like that. We learn from this, we permitted it only in the case where it was, where something else was permitted beforehand. So, if we're talking about a Kohen who can do avoda, he must take off the bandage before doing avoda because he must not be wearing anything except for the big tikkun, except for his priestly vestments when doing the avoda. And therefore, afterwards, after he's done doing the avoda, he can then put it back on. However, a kohen who is not able to avoda, he's a bar mom, he's a blemish, he's a lefty, right, he's too young, etc. So he cannot put the bandage back on in the mikdash because he was not allowed to take it off in the first place because there was no reason for him to take it off. Okay, in the case of opening the barrel has also already been taught. Poseach chaviso master beisase algav haregel. You don't remember Yigmar Chamim lo Yigmar. We had this machlis from Yudah of Chamim, right? Somebody who's opening up a barrel to start drinking from it, right? And now wants to put back on, or somebody who's kneading dough for the purpose of the Yom Tov can continue even afterwards with stuff that's not for the purpose of the Yom Tov. Right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chamim say no. Mel the same, what would you thought? Tumas am haaretz beregel ketara shavua rabbanan ve'af agav de lehiskel name kamashan hitiru seifan vishum tchilasan hiskel in lehiskel. You would have thought that when it comes to So an amhara, somebody who's not usually ne'eman when it comes to tumantara, right? He's not careful about all the small dinim of tumantara. We treat him as though he's tahor during the regel. Treat everybody as a tahor during the regel, and they go back. We treat everybody as a tahor. They're pure during the regel, and they go back to being treated as tamei after the regel. So you would have thought that in such that. That even if you had, Oh, the point is that he hasn't started. If you hadn't started to sell it during the regel, then we would have thought that the fact that it. You thought that if it wasn't started, you only started to sell it after the regel, but you got it ready during the regel, that it would be considered to be tahor, that a chaver would be able to eat, that would a chaver would be able to take advantage of it. Sorry, I did not explain this case correctly before. Right. The case is a case where you start to knead dough during the regel, right? And the question, and the point is, if somebody's an Amma Oretz is doing it, somebody who's not ne'eman to mentara. The question is, can we assume that it's tahor because things that are done in the regel are usually viewed as tahor? So the answer is, only if they were done for the purpose of the regel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and chamim not at all, right? An Amma Oretz is viewed as tahor during the regel, even though he's not careful about all the small stem of tumantara. Right? Therefore, if he started to knead this dough, or he opened the barrel during the regel to sell it, right? If he did it for the purpose of the regel, Rabbi Yehuda would say, even after the regel, right, we will continue to view it as tahor. Chacham would say, no, that's not true. Right? What would you have thought? You would have thought that just anything that happens in the regel is going to be tahor, according to Rabbi Yehuda, irrelevant of whether it was done for the purpose of the regel or not. No, the answer is, because we wanted to be able to enable people to buy more bread, to be able to drink more wine on Yom Tov because of Simchas Yom Tov, so we allowed the things of the Amar to be set treated as Tahar, provide they have some relevance to the regal. The second they don't, they're not. But Ula my time Ula Araham, why didn't Ula list those? But Plugs are like Amari, he didn't want to teach the ones that are Machokas, he didn't want to teach the ones that are disagreement, he only want to teach the ones that are simple. Hanach Nami Plugs in him, all the other ones are also a disagreement. Beshaim, Mokim Bishilel, Eina Mishnah says, the Gemara, a famous statement, right? Anytime you have a disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we know the halacha is like Beis Hillel, with a few exceptions. Therefore, since that's the case, we don't view a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as a real machlokas. You can't pass in like Beis Shammai when it comes to a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chamim. They're already a legitimate machlokas when you really can pass in like either side, and therefore, right, he has to treat both sides as halacha, as relevant to the halacha. Okay, let's continue on the Gemara. Okay, our mission is inconsistent with this brisa because the brisa is in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Beishayim, Beishayim, Beishayim both agree that you can take apart the table on Yom Tov in the photo stalls in the market. What you cannot do is return the slats to rebuild the table according to Beishayim. So Beis Shammai remain machzirim. Beis Hillel remain machzirim because Beis Shammai say you can't rebuild the table. Beis Hillel say you can. But I made remember when is this true? Beis Shammai yish lan tzira, but ain lan tzira call mutter. This disagreement is only true if they have little notches and the wood such they fit together perfectly. However, if they don't, then everybody would say that you can just put slats of wood on top of other slats of wood and build a makeshift table. That's permitted. V'asanya, didn't we send a brisa? When is this true? B'she'in lam sira, v'al yesh lam sira d'ria kol asur. Didn't we have another brisa that says that the disagreement is when they don't have notches to make the planks fit together perfectly, but if they do have those notches, then everybody agrees forbidden. That's binyan v'kelem, that's forbidden. Namara, baya, baya, said, v'sh lesh lam sira min atza, d'ria kol asur, ein lam sira al kol ikar, d'ria kol mutter, ki pligi, v'sh lesh lam sira, ba emza, mar safar garzinan sira v'emza, asur atur sira v'tzad, mar safar loy gazrinan. If they have a tzir, these notches that make the wood fit together perfectly, right at the ends, where they're most useful, everybody agree you can't put that table together on Yom Tov. Or Shabbos. If they have no notches whatsoever, everybody agree you can put that table together on Yom Kippur Shabbos. That's too makeshift. That's not viewed as building anything at all. What's the case where they disagree? If there's a notches in the middle of the planks to put it together, there it's not very useful. So the question is, if they got those notches in the middle, then is that are we worried that if you allow that, you also allow notches at the ends or not? The Beis Shammai might say yes, you are gozer, and Beis Hillel say no, you're not gozer in such a case. Hey, Shkoyach, gentlemen, we will continue, please God, tomorrow.